Welcome back. You're tuning in to the HBC Nation Radio Show. I'm your host, Anthony Ray. I'm streaming here on the HBC Radio and the HBC Smart TV. We're blessed to have you join us, and we pray and hope that you're having an incredible day. I was just the other day thinking about this week's featured segment, and I have just been so excited about this guest that we're about to spend some time with ever since the team brought it to me. And I tell you, when, you know, that there are not many folk who come on the show that I get so excited about. And this is his first appearance with us, but we're so happy to have him. And we're talking about Mr. Marlon Evans. He is the CEO of NextCubed. Now, Marlon's professional career spans higher education, foundations, Fortune 500s, and startups. The driving force behind all of his career choices has been a desire to create positive social impact. In 2018, Marlon was named CEO of NextCubed, an investor that creates and accelerates frontier tech companies with an emphasis on digital health and fintech. NextCubed empowers entrepreneurs to bring new technologies to market, helps rising company scale, and provides paths to liquidity, the power of three. To date, the NextCubed portfolio, consisting of over 70 companies, has an aggregate value of $450 million, and over 50% of the startups are led by female and minority founders. Prior to joining NextCubed, Marlon served as CEO of GSV Labs, a global innovation platform that accelerates startups and connects corporations to exponential technologies, business models, and ideas. His career includes experience as a director of corporate affairs at HP, where he led HP company foundation programs, including Matter to a Million, a company-wide employee engagement program in partnership with Kiva. Marlon also spent time in the nonprofit sector, serving as executive director of Ronnie Lott's All-Stars Helping Kids, a national community foundation based in the San Francisco Bay Area, dedicated to promoting a safe, healthy, and rigorous learning environment for disadvantaged children. He also serves as the director of partnerships at the Knowledge is Power program, a national network of public schools that are successful in helping students from educationally underserved communities develop the knowledge, skills, character, and habits needed to succeed in college and the competitive world beyond. Marlon started his career at Stanford as a director of undergraduate admission and major gifts officer in the Office of Medical Development, and is here with us today. Marlon, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Andy. After reading that, I'm not sure I put all of those things, but
I... Hey, listen, I heard someone say, give honor to whom honor is due. And yes, sir. And so, but thank you so much. We're just happy to have you here with us today. And just wanted to talk about exciting things that you're doing with NextCubed, and you're going to be rolling a program out, if you will, targeting HBCU students. And I'm excited about that, of course, and just want to hear all about your efforts in that particular regard, the HBCU Founders Program.
Yeah, no, at NextCubed, as you mentioned, we've been investing in early stage entrepreneurs for 3 years now. And typically when they come to us, they've raised some friends and family funding, they've raised some angel funding, they have an MVP or a prototype that they're looking to take to the market. And with that, we've been able to ensure that we are still investing in a very diverse group of founders. But the reality is that many people don't have access to friends and family who can give them thousands of dollars to start their businesses, or know an angel investor in their community that can support their efforts. So we realized that if we really wanted to impact what we call the top of the funnel, like all of the people that are interested in pursuing entrepreneurship, that we would have to start earlier in the process, working at the university level. So we're super excited to launch our HBCU Founders Program this year to get an opportunity to work with students who may not have even considered entrepreneurship or may have an idea but don't know where to go. We want to be that infrastructure for them to see those dreams become a reality.
Wow, that is awesome, Marlon, the whole that view and the commitment to making this happen, the story behind the next year, the HBCU Founders Program. Let's talk about the logistics a little bit about that and how you envision rolling this out.
Yeah, we realize that we're a small company. We have 12 kind of full-time folks who are working on the team. Typically, we have invest via cohort, so there may be 8 to 10 companies per cohort that are going through our program at any given time. To think about scaling that for all 100 plus HBCUs across the country was daunting to us, and we realized we couldn't do it alone. So we reached out to partners like AT&T, Morgan Stanley, the law firm Cooley, as a way to kind of broaden our reach, you know, if you will, and then contacted all of the universities and say, hey, there's no cost for participation. If the students are interested, they just need to sign up on our website. And as a result, to date, we have over 250 students that have signed up across 45 HBCUs. And for us, it was really important that we had that diversity within even the HBCU community, because in speaking with a lot of some of our corporate partners, they said they traditionally have good connectivity with the Morehouses and the Spelmans and the Howards of the world, but not necessarily kind of the breadth of schools that they're out there. So we're happy to be able to play that conduit to give those students as much, you know, exposure to entrepreneurship and our corporate partners as possible.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely right there. It indicates that you have your finger directly on the pulse and you get it. And that's kind of what's happening. And, you know, I guess in a way you can understand why some folk feel that way, some of us out here are not getting our fair shot, but just understanding that that is a concern, or just things are perceived to be that way, and to try to address that makes a huge difference. If you're just joining us, you tune in to the HBCU Nation Radio Show. I'm your host, Anthony Ray. Glad to have you join the broadcast today. We're streaming here on HBCU Radio and also on HBCU Smart TV. And our special guest for this segment is Marlon. And Marlon is the CEO of NextCube. And we are involved in a conversation right now talking about the effort to roll out what they refer to as the HBCU Founders Program at NextCube. Real quickly, we want you to know that NextCube, they have an aggregate portfolio at the value of $450 million. And over 50% of the startups are led by female and minority founders. And this is incredible. And what Marlon is all about, he and his team, they want to empower entrepreneurs to bring new technologies to market. They help you with raising company scale or rising the companies up to scale, and provides paths to liquidity. And that's the power of three. We're blessed to have him to join in the broadcast today as the CEO, as we're just excited to have him with us today, sharing, and glad to have you tune in. Marlon Evans, CEO of NextCube, again, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much. No, really excited to be here.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that whole thing right there again, okay? NextCube's portfolio is consisting of over 70 companies. You have an aggregate value of over $450 million, and over 50% of the startups are led by female and minority founders. That is just awesome, Molly. Let's just elaborate on why you're passionate about this, and you and your team are committed to making this happen.
Yeah, I mean, so we're at the end of the day, I have shareholders that I need to report back to. And right, our feeling is that it's not only good for our community, but it's good business. If we're identifying founders at an early stage that other folks may not be paying as much attention to or aren't in their typical, you know, circles, that ends up being proprietary, if you will, deal flow for Nextcubed. And we know that they're as talented as ones you might find, you know, typically within the entrepreneur, you know, ecosystem. They just need to have access to the same resources. So when we come along and we identify those opportunities, provide them with funding and support, they're as successful, if not more successful, than their counterparts, which ends up meaning that it's a great return on our investment. So the one thing that we try to make, you know, clear, and not that there's not, there's anything wrong. I come from the nonprofit, you know, sector, and know that a lot of that is really good work that needs to happen, but, you know, make no mistake, we wouldn't be running the program that we do at Nextcubed and our HBCU Founders Program if we didn't think there was talent in those communities that could help, that could generate a lot of great returns for our investors.
I love it, man. I mean, just, you know, just so transparent, man, and just keeping it real. It's not just good business, also it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
I heard, yeah, back in the day, you heard the old folks say, when the tide come in, everything goes up, right? So yeah. You want to be able to make sure. And, you know, again, the whole, I forgive me, 50%, right, of the startups now, that's your commitment to, and this is incredible, and to be able to reach out again to the HBCUs who really have done a great job, oh gosh, in their whole story behind on what they do and making the contribution to help America to become and to go into the future, you know, as a leader of the free world. Man, and to get in here with the entrepreneurial piece to help them, you know, we're talking innovation here. I mean, the HBCUs are literally incubators of innovation. And to be able to, you know, to do what you're doing, you guys, you and your team, to reach out and give them a shot. This is interesting. I understand that part of the whole thing is that in the summer, they get an opportunity to go out to Silicon Valley. Elaborate upon the connection you have in that regard, the phase where the kids who are involved in the HBCU Founders Program have an opportunity in the summer to spend some time out in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, and that's where we're based out here in the San Francisco Bay Area, which
gotcha.
Is really the tech kind of entrepreneurship hub. And while our program has always been virtual, we don't require our founders to move to San Francisco because there's costs inherent in that.
Sure.
And we recruit nationally. There is still something to be said for being here in an environment where all of the latest technology is being developed. A tremendous amount of investment capital is in this area. So we wanted to provide an opportunity for the students who are going through this program to really immerse themselves in this environment and take all of those lessons that they learned, you know, during their time in the summer back to their home communities. And apologize if you can hear the phone ringing.
Oh, that's fine. That means there's bigger things are happening. The phone needs to be ringing. I said, well, my phone's not ringing. Maybe, you know.
This is the beauties of working in the home office.
Hey, look, that's so old school. There you go. The phone is ringing. Yes, it should be ringing. Okay.
So, no, I'm sorry. But,
we
also recognize that we're looking that there could be up to 500 students, we hope, that register for this program, and understanding that not all of them will get an opportunity. We'll probably bring about 10 to 15 or so students out here to the summer. Mm-hmm. But how do we make sure that we're creating value for those students throughout the entire program? So are they getting internship interviews with Morgan Stanley and AT&T? Are they learning about having an entrepreneurial mindset, whether they go to start a company or they go work for a big company and become an intrapreneur within that company? Have they been able to increase the size of their network so that when they are looking potentially to start that company, maybe it's not this year, it's 2-3 years from now, they have people who they can call upon like at NextCube to say, hey, can you help maybe introduce me to X, Y, or Z? So it is very much about getting to a point where we'll have some businesses that we can invest in at the end of the day. But mm-hmm. if that's all that we did, I would say it wasn't successful. I want every student to go through the program, whether they get selected for the summer or not, to say, right. I'm glad I did that. I learned a tremendous amount, and I'm going to take that back to my day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. I love the whole thing, the whole, you know, the heart of this whole effort that you've undertaken is to address the disparities for Black founders, as you said, raising friends and family and seed funds and the lack of funding for minority entrepreneurs and the lack of fund managers. This is what this is really all about, the heart of the matter, and you're addressing that. And man, in doing so, that is going to have a huge difference. You're making a difference. And we just thank God for that. And it's just an honor to have you on the program today, talking about that and sharing your heart and what you guys are really all about. Talk about it for a little bit, if you would, Marlon, the importance of Black wealth creation and generational wealth through entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about the leading tech companies, the Microsofts, the Facebooks of the world, Amazon, I mean, the folks who generated kind of the most wealth were the ones who were there in the beginning, were the founders, or the early investors into those opportunities. Mm-hmm. They're now the billionaires and the multi-millionaires who are now able to then start new companies or invest back into their communities. So they're not, they're in many ways, they own the company rather than working for the company. And mm-hmm. and that mindset of how do we create those types of opportunities for Black and brown folks to now be the ones who are at that initial ground level basis within these companies, so that when they do scale and grow, they're now in a very great position to transfer some of that wealth back to their communities, back to their families, and have them now start, you know, more companies. And it becomes a ripple effect that will uplift, to your point, that rising tide. I mean, it will uplift all, you know, all boats. And I know it's there. We just are trying to play our role in making sure that great ideas, great talent isn't just dying on the vine because there was nobody there to help kind of water the soil.
Good stuff, Marlon. Man, I tell you, bless my heart today. I'm so glad that we made the connection and you took time out of your busy schedule, phone ringing and everything during the broadcast. That's a good thing. And so, man, listen, again, the CEO and founder of NextCube, you guys are doing great things. And just want folks to know that, remember that NextCube empowers entrepreneurs to bring new technologies to market. They help raising companies scale and provides paths to liquidity, the power of three. Our good friend, Marlon Evans, CEO of NextCube. Until next time, thanks a lot, man, for all that you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And go to the website if you're a student or a recent alum. Please visit nex3.com to learn more about our HBCU Founders Program.
Thanks a lot, Marlon. Take care, buddy.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay.